Congratulations! You found it! The most inappropriate book club you never knew you were missing! Starring the original book divas, Martha Steele and Vonnie Golden! And also featuring
Keith Steigert, Uber reader and romance junkie.
These people are passionate about books, maybe a little too passionate. Plotting world domination one book at a time, they are three book girls!
I was a judge today at the Oklahoma Beer Festival.
Nice.
And I had to.
Are you all drunk?
No. I swallowed like tiny little swallows, you know, like sip, sip, sip. But I didn't like drink a whole mouthful of any of the beers because we did 80 beers in 2 hours.
Nice.
And they still weren't
even
done.
I couldn't swallow 80.
I had some nuts. And a cheese stick.
And you had nuts and then you swallowed. I love this conversation so much.
Stop.
I love it.
I'm going to be red.
You should know. You're supposed to eat tons of bread and it soaks all that crap up.
Oh, anyway, so Vonnie went with me as my plus one.
Oh, did Vonnie drink?
No, she was like the organizer because everybody there had no idea what they were doing. And the beer was just piling up on the tables. And they're like, oh, you're supposed to do this. And so Vonnie just basically, she know how good she is about organizing shit. So she's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And she got right in there and she lined everybody out and she got a system going. And before long, it was running like clockwork.
Good job, Vonnie.
I know. But then
she saved the beer contest.
She did. She saved the beer contest. And then she had to go home and get Echo. So I left the fairgrounds, came back here because poor Gwen.
Yeah.
I already called and canceled for an hour one time.
Was just hanging out outside.
I was sitting in my car reading
looking
a book.
Like a stalker.
See, I forgot that it was a book person, you know. I was all freaking out about being late, and then she answers, it's okay, I'll just read a book in the driveway. And I'm like, oh my god, she is our people.
I'm rereading the book I'm reviewing, so I was just reading it again. I've read it like 4 or 5 times.
It must be a really good book.
I think it is, but I don't know if it's up your alley. I think it's more up Megan's alley.
But that's okay because Megan's not here today, so you're playing the part of Megan.
And Keith likes sort of the paranormal stuff, so she might like it.
Awesome.
Today, the part of Megan Runyon will be played by Gwendolyn Lake.
I can do it.
Yes, you can.
4 miles away from where we were, it took me 20 minutes to get home.
Why? Beer?
Because people are fucking stupid. Then some bitch wouldn't let me over. I cut her off. I put my turn signal on. She didn't slow down. And I tried to speed up and she sped up. So I cut the bitch off. If she would have back-ended me, it would have been her ticket.
Sometimes you just got to cut a bitch off.
Sometimes you do what you got to do.
I'm meeting you, Vonnie.
It's nice to meet you.
I'm so sorry I didn't introduce you.
I'm Vonnie.
Gwen. Vonnie, Gwen.
It's been a rough day. Sorry. Yeah. I usually don't come in like a... freaky, big no,
none
weirdo.
Of us ever do. Oh my god, what a day.
It was fun though. It was so fun.
Bonnie's like a fucking superhero, man.
took over.
She did. She swooped in there and
I was like, bring me drinks. Keep them pouring. I need you to make these three into six.
Yeah, it was amazing. She absolutely rocked.
What was Roger's husband's name? I can't remember what his name was.
I don't remember what his name is either.
He actually gave me some suggestions and I took them and it worked better. So
you guys worked together.
Yeah,
that's
we
nice.
Together. And he's like, just tell me what you need me to do. I'm like, bring me drinks.
Otherwise we would have been there.
We were only like halfway done and we left at 4:30 and we started at 1:30.
Yeah. We had tasted 80 beers. The judges had
so
tasted.
So there wasn't a competition? You just gave them like a rating?
No, it's a rating. So the winners in each category, you know, are judged based on, you know, these different criteria that you have. When you taste it, you have to give it a final score of whether you like the beer. And at first I was all freaked out because I'm not a Pilsner girl. I don't like those really light beers. They don't taste like anything to me. So I'm like, well, it smell nothing?
Yeah.
Taste? Nothing? I don't know what to tell you about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to totally change the subject. So, you know, we were talking about fun and cool, like stuff that you could buy for people for gifts and whatnot. And I found the funniest socks. Okay, so here's the socks, guys.
I think you should leave out the tail part.
Oh, my God.
I love cocktails.
Oh, no.
Nice.
I didn't see the tails on there. I was like,
they're just big, long knee socks, and it's a I heart cock and then tails. I just thought that that would be such a fun stocking stuffer for a cocktail-loving lady, don't you think? And then I found this other one. What's that?
Mr. Keith was a little concerned when my birthday present arrived from Martha, because it has the cutest little dinosaur and then it says Guntosaurus. And he was like, is she mad at you? And I was like, no, this is her way of showing love.
It's really funny.
It's so cute.
At first I was a little concerned as to whether
she asked me, she's like, do you think Keith would like this? Or do you think she would think I was a bitch?
All right, here we go. Here's another one. This is not funny, per se. It's a book lover's.
Per se.
It's just the cutest. It's a cute little bookmark, but it's really different from any
cool
that I've seen before. It's like a little leather heart that has like a space in the top. So you put it on the corner of your book.
Look, Nessie is keeping my spot in my notebook.
Oh, I like that.
I sent Keith early birthday presents. Show her the cup, too. Do you have the cup right there?
I don't. I'm going to put it on the website, though.
Oh, okay. It says, don't be a cuntosaurus.
Yep.
I do not think you're a cuntosaurus, by the way.
You know what? I don't care. I'm going to be one if I want to anyway.
Well, I just thought, you know what?
Once you get so old, you're like, screw it.
Keith loves dinosaurs, and sometimes she gets cross. So if she were drinking tea out of this, you'd stay the fuck away from her. That was the whole...
I love it so much.
That was the whole idea behind it. I hope Mr. Keith doesn't think I'm a cuntosaurus.
Nope.
Okay. Just checking, because I really don't like that word. I usually don't use it, but...
I don't either, but I really like it
but
on the mug.
I had to make an exception for that, because it's such a unique... I've never seen that before.
Did you find
it? Neither have I.
One of the gentlemen who was another assistant judge said that his... Was it his niece? Got him a shirt that said...
Oh, yeah.
I pulled it up on Amazon, but my...
Can you tell I'm not a fucking people person or something?
I'm not a fucking people person.
Oh, I need that shirt.
Yeah. And I found it. It's on Amazon, and they actually have it in a sweatshirt.
And there's two of them. There's one that's just like regular, like lettering and whatnot. And the other one is, it says that only it has like a unicorn.
Yeah, I like the like unicorn one.
Like a plushy, fluffy unicorn looking thing on it.
I saw this welcome mat and I really wanted it. And I thought about it, like whether it would be very offensive. And by the time I went back for it, it was gone. But it was perfect for me. And it said, did you call first? And then underneath it, it said, I don't care. Go away anyway. And I was like, oh,
I really need that.
I really like this shirt, though. That's the shirt I want. I'd never be able to wear it anywhere, but that's the shirt I want.
That's the problem with these cute shirts, is that you can't wear them anywhere.
What?
Although with this pandemic, I might never go out again. So maybe I need to just buy all the shirts that say terrible, terrible things. And then I can let my children be horrified by them. Because screw it.
He was...
This other judge that was there, I think he had done a little drinking before he sat down.
Yeah, I think he was... I think he pre-gamed a little.
Yeah. And then he told
us... Sometimes that's the best way to judge.
He told us when he got done, he was going to somebody's house to do some mushrooms.
No. He did. And this guy, I mean, he didn't look like the kind of guy that would say that.
No,
he was he was like a very...
Sophisticated
looking gray-haired guy. Oh, that's nice.
It's like, I'm gonna go with him. Y'all have fun with the podcast.
I've never done mushrooms before.
I haven't either. I want to try. I do.
Maybe
I
someday. I don't know. It kind of the whole idea of losing that much control.
Just once in a safe environment.
In a safe environment.
You know, yeah. I don't think safe I would stand in line for that.
No.
No.
It just makes me think of what Vanessa's story. Did I ever tell you about Vanessa's story about...
You did tell it on the podcast, but tell it again because it's a
Keith,
good story.
Keith, have I told you?
She about told it on the podcast.
About, now, this is when my sister was like younger, like, you know, not even a mom yet, younger. And her boyfriend decided they were going to do some mushrooms. And so they did some mushrooms. And they're just sitting in their apartment tripping and everything. And they decided that they had a great idea on how to make money. They were going to make belly button candles.
What?
Belly button candles. It gets better. So Vanessa, my sister, melted some wax and her boyfriend laid down on the floor and she poured hot wax into his belly button, burnt the shit out of the inside of his belly button, and then it got caught on the hair when she was trying to take the wax out. So she pulled off his hair around his belly button.
Thank God it was his belly button. They could have picked some really scary orifices to do that with.
Butthole candles?
I mean, the belly button's bad enough. Yeah.
Let's make some ass crack candles.
Oh my God.
All I can think of is people just sitting around. You know, it would be a great idea. Dude, we should do it. Here.
Oh, my God. I've heard that story before, and it still just cracks me up. I just can't.
Oh. My sister's like, there's nothing that brings your buzz down like your boyfriend getting third-degree burns because she poured hot wax into his belly button.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the big bummer of the story.
Hey, geez, we had to totally like try that, man.
You know what we didn't do properly? We have not introduced our guest. I do that all the time. We have a guest actually from Oklahoma City, so she's actually in the studio with us, the studio being my house. And she drove all the way from Midwest City today to be with us. Her name is Gwen Lake.
It was 38 minutes to get here.
38 minutes. And I was late because I was drinking beer at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, but sorry about
it
that.
It was worth it. It was worth it to meet you guys. So. Well, I met Martha once, but it was worth it to meet Vonnie. Well,
see, then I'm worth the 38 minutes.
Yeah, worth the 38 minute drive. And Gwen works at a library.
Yes, I do. I'm a processor.
Which means she gets to see all the books first.
Yeah, all the new materials, the books, the movies, the CDs, and I put the plastic on the books.
She yeah. makes them beautiful for yes. the library shelves.
Yes, and it would be a boring job, except I get to listen to books all day long. I get to listen to whatever I want. So I listen to this. I listen to the podcast.
Boy, it's a good thing that the other library people can't hear what you're listening to, huh?
Oh, I've told a couple of my coworkers.
They're like, what the hell? Are they on mushrooms? No, we don't need
see
mushrooms.
See those librarian people being our kind of folk.
Very much. Yes.
Behind the cardigans, they are wild women.
You know what? When I had my first job interview, everyone was wearing a cardigan. Everybody interviewing me, three other ladies, they were all wearing cardigans. And I was like, this must be a library thing. It was so weird.
See, I have a lot of cardigans, too. Maybe it's a book
thing.
See,
I was thinking it was a book thing because, yes, I have like 6-7 different cardigans. I have to keep one in every room for when it gets cold.
I have a lot because I went through a phase there for a while where Target had really cute cardigans. You remember that?
Every time we went to Target, she was like, I'm going to go look at the cardigan.
That's pretty much my jam. Now that that's out of the way, you can identify the fourth voice in the room. We could go back to talking about great gift ideas for Chris. The reason we want to talk about it this week is there's a supply chain issue.
Yes, there is.
So if you're not going to be ordering your stuff right away, you're not going to get it.
You're gonna have to.
We wanted to give people some options of things. If you can't shop local, we always encourage you to shop local. That's number one priority. But I mean, sometimes you just can't. And in that case, I mean, where are you going to find I Love Cock tail socks?
Well, you know, it's kind of like shopping local, but shopping globally. I love Etsy for that.
Yes.
I get Tyler funny socks every year, you know. Last year, I got him a pair of golf socks that had a golf club and like a golf ball and stuff. And on the top, it'd say, I'd tap that.
We'll have to see if there's a link for that available.
And then I got him some eggplant underwear.
You know, nice. Wait, I want to get that for my husband.
That's exactly what you want from your mom.
How'd you find that?
Amazon.
Yeah, I want to get that for my
husband. Let's see if we can find a link. What we like to do is we like to look up stuff and put links up on our website, because what happens is if people click on that stuff and buy it, we get a percentage.
Oh, my favorite are the Fuck Off I'm Reading socks. Those are on Amazon.
I have the Fuck Off I'm Reading socks.
Oh my God.
I know, those are amazing. Those used to be my go-to gift for everything. I mean, they also have gifts that are cool that are not inappropriate. It's just—
yeah, like it's just that I'm inappropriate. Ones. That's why all of the things that I purchase tend to be—
I found Tyler's underwear this year.
They have a Jamie Fraser candle.
Oh my God.
What did you find?
It's a pair of underwear with a hot dog in a bun right on the junk.
For real, that's nice. Perfect.
I buy Tyler a funny pair of socks and a funny pair of underwear every year.
See, those are inexpensive kind of gifts that you could use for stocking stuffers or, you know.
Oh, my too. God.
That's good, too.
Camo and the junk is a deer face. I'd be a little scared if that was staring back at me.
Can I pet your deer?
Is that on Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we got to put that up. We like to recommend Three Book Girls greatest hits for gifts as well, such as the Shiwi. The Shiwi makes an excellent stocking stuffer, especially if you have young girls.
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yep. We actually get a— I've heard from some of our book girls that they have purchased those and keep them in the car for when their kids travel, you know, little girls.
I can see
oh,
it.
Yeah, the
Shiwi. I know what you're talking about
yeah.
now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like we should share that one again, because I think that's really a practical gift. I mean, you never know when you're going to have to, like if you're driving during the summer and you drive through a state like Wyoming where there's no bathrooms anywhere, and you got to go. I mean, what
or
are you going to do?
The bathrooms are scary.
And as a little girl, that's not something you learn how to do unless you live in a state like that. So if you're driving through, you got to, yeah. What were you going to say to Bonnie?
I don't know if Bonnie has tried out the hair remover thing yet.
Oh my gosh.
I had that conversation with her earlier this week, Keith.
I know.
And I shook my finger at her and said, you've got to try it so that we can.
I'm going to have to buy it and try it.
I'll try to remember to do it tomorrow.
That's what you said last night or
well, listen,
Thursday night.
Here's the thing, though. You have to shave like a couple of days before you use it because your hair has to be a certain length. And every time I think about doing it, I haven't shaved my legs in a week and a half. And I'm like, well, shit, if I do it now, I'm going to set my leg on fire.
So wait, it doesn't work like, well, so it won't work if I'm like a Sasquatch. That's when I want it to work.
Well, no, you have to clip that shit down.
So that hair removal issue is still pending. We have to figure out what the best hair removal tool is. And the other greatest Three Book Girls greatest hits would be—
has anyone used like Poo-Pourri? Does that actually work?
Oh my God, that is the best stuff.
I always think about using that.
It is the best stuff. The reason that it's cool is that you spray it on the water before you go to the bathroom, and it like puts an oily sheen across the top of the water so that when you poop, it plops down in there and it traps all the smells down in. And it really works, you guys. It really works.
I've had that in my Amazon cart for like literally 3 years.
I had some intestinal— I'm telling you right now, I had some intestinal distress. I went to work. I knew it was going to be a bad day. I took it with me. No problem. None of the salespeople were in there going, oh my God, somebody ruined the bathroom, which is what would have happened if I hadn't done that. Now, you do not want to put it in your purse.
Oh, jeez.
Unless
Why?
You put a bag, because you don't, because it's like made with essential oils and it will get on things.
If it leaks.
And
it gets—
I think
all over.
That Rachel said one time that she put it in the cupboard with her crackers.
her crackers
kind of tasted like— I think it was Rachel that said that.
But yeah. If you ever research the Poo-Pourri, you need to go on YouTube and watch the
Those
commercials.
Commercials are the most
commercial.
Hilarious
yes.
commercials you'll ever see in your life. The marketing on that is just—
it's so funny.
So funny.
I sit and every once in a while I'll go in and watch them just because I want to laugh.
Yeah.
Love that Squatty Potty.
No, we found her Thanksgiving shirt. It's a picture of a turkey and it says, I like it moist.
Ugh. Rachel and I hate that shirt on principle.
I know how much you love that word, Kate.
Yuck.
I like it more.
I'm going to find a shirt that says something about being poignant.
There won't
just
be one.
Screw
Nobody
you.
Knows what that word means except us. Anyway.
That's not true.
I like it thick.
No one uses like that word in regular conversation, Keith. Have you ever heard somebody besides book a book girl use that word?
Or movie people.
Yeah. What kind of gifts do you like to give at Christmas, Gwen?
Oh, I give books to everyone.
God dang it. I should have thought about that before I asked the book girl that question. That's a dumb question.
Everyone in my life gets at least one book. Even if they don't like reading, I can't help it.
Do you get them books that you think they would like or books that you really like that you think they need to read?
No, books that they would like. I try my best.
See, I have...
That's always my problem.
I have a hard time trying to choose books for other people because I know that I don't have very good, like, generalized taste. My taste is very specific. So, I mean...
Same.
I can't
get smut for just anybody.
I know. Well, I can never think of, oh my God, what if there's something offensive in this book that I don't remember?
I know, right? Because, I mean, stuff that is not offensive to me is offensive to tons of other people.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, what? You don't like fisting in a book? That's weird.
Poor Gwen. Oh, my God. She's never coming back now. Never coming back.
I only like that in movies.
The blog is just going to be posts of pictures. It's just going to be pictures of weird shit, like for pages and pages and
the
pages.
The book girls recommend stocking stuffers. This is going to go on all month, you know, so just get used to it.
Damn. We should have a contest and we should try and come out with the best inappropriate gift and then people can vote.
Oh my gosh.
The best white elephant.
See excitement now.
Oh!
That would be awesome. That would be really awesome.
I'll tell you what, my family is great at finding inappropriate books on Amazon. Imagine what they could do with any kind of item.
We're going to hook Gwen up with some swag when she leaves. We'll give her three book girls cup and a bag. Yay. And everything for coming to the show. Yay.
And waiting on us because we were late.
Made her sit in the driveway and read. Yeah.
Because we were drinking
beer all day. We really should talk about books now.
Is everyone done laughing? Oh, you no. won't be laughing after I review
my
book.
Oh, damn.
Talk about bringing the...
Yeah, horror month is over. It's back to soul-crushing depression.
Soul-crushing.
It's back to trauma porn.
Trauma porn.
I look forward to Vonnie's picks. I really do because they're different from the rest of you and they're more intense.
They're deep.
Intense, yes. Mm-hmm.
They definitely are that.
All right, Vonnie. Bring us down.
Are you ready?
I suppose.
Okay, I kind of had to look around for this book because I was in a real rut after Horror Month, which seems to be like, I don't know about anybody else, but after we do our month of horror, I always get into a rut.
Why is that, I wonder?
I don't know. It's like that every year. I actually did not read for 2 days in the book that I am reading this week. It's called The Mountains Sing by Wen Fang Ki Mei. And I know I probably butchered that, but... And it's about a family in Vietnam, and it kind of goes back and forth between the Vietnam War and World War II. So it starts out like kind of during the Vietnam War, probably about 1972, 74, right around that time period. And it's a grandma who's raising her granddaughter. And the grandma wants to pass on her legacy, so she starts telling the granddaughter about her life and about her mom and everything else. And her mom and dad are off fighting in the Vietnam War because at the time, all the males were required to go fight for Vietnam. And the mom left to go try to find her husband, and plus the mom was like a nurse, like she had medical training, so she went to go help with her medical training too. So this book is super sad. The things that happened to this poor grandma when she was growing up, she watched both of her parents be killed. When she was a little bit older, she was kind of like a land owner and like one of the more wealthier people who employed people to work the land. And I mean, she never took advantage. She made sure, like during like depressed years, that all of her people had food to eat and everything else. But when Vietnam went to being a communist country, like after the Civil War and everything else, they had like, I can't remember what they called it, like the land order or something else, but basically taking away all the wealthy people's lands. And when they did that, they tried to put it in people's mind that these people were, the landowners were horrible, horrible people, and they took advantage of all of the workers and the farmers, and they basically, it was a witch hunt. And so the government had quotas of how many of these landowners that they wanted basically killed and thrown in prisons and everything else. And because she was a landowner, she ended up having to escape from the mob with her five children. And then she was on the road and nobody had anything to eat. And they were like killing all of the fruit trees and everything else. And so many people were hungry that there were just dead people when they were trying to find their way to somewhere safe. Just dead people just strewn all over the place. I mean, I just couldn't imagine what this lady went through. So this is super sad. There are some like happier parts, like because as the daughter grows up, like near the end of the book, it kind of upturns a little bit, and all the suffering that the family has done pays off and it ends on a better note. But just to hear the things that the Vietnamese people went through, because, you know, you had the Japanese who were just taking advantage of all of the Vietnamese people during World War II. And then during the Vietnam War, I mean, it was horrible. And they thought the Americans were terrible because we were coming over and fighting their people. And I don't know, it kind of made you look at the Vietnam War a little bit different. Or at least it did me, hearing what this family thought about the war. It was interesting. It was good. It was super sad. There are a lot of very bad parts. There's a lot of graphic killing, if that's a trigger. Violence is definitely in this book, but it's very well written. I actually picked this book out because I don't necessarily like Asian culture that much. So I don't read a lot of books based in Asia. So when I picked this book out and started reading it, I actually did not think that I would like it, and I loved it. So
well,
that says a lot. And that was The Mountains Sing by Nguyen Phan K. May. It was good. Keith,
awesome.
It's super sad. I mean, it's throw the baby in the river sad.
Oh, man.
So
I think it's important, though, that I think the Vietnam War and that whole time period, I think that's probably one of the periods that people least know about, especially when you're like in later generations. Because so much happened and there was so much hostility when they came back. And it's kind of like people want to just sweep it under the rug and be like, you know what, we're not going to talk about it. Like, right. I mean, I know my kids will ask me about what it was about. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not really sure. So it's important that that kind of fiction comes out, because a lot of people, that's how they're going to learn about it.
Right. And it's basically the thing that just gets to me about the Vietnam War is that it didn't do anything for the Vietnamese people. It didn't make anything better, right? Because we basically withdrew from Vietnam and they were still in the middle of a civil war between the North and the South, you know, because at the time they were split between the North and the South Vietnam, right?
Yeah. And that's another reason no one talks about it, because it's not a victory for anyone.
Right. Does this sound familiar to anybody?
I know, right?
Like, yeah. We just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and getting the same results.
Well, maybe what if we need to keep bashing it into people's heads so that they realize, and then people are like, oh, wait, let's not make this mistake again. Let's turn the tide and not go a different direction maybe this time.
And one of the important things about reading stuff like this is the more that you know about history, the less likely you are to repeat it. So it's important to know how the Vietnam War affected the Vietnamese people after America withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't better. Not at all. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend this book. It was super good. Cringeworthy, emotional. People will cry. I did not, but I read it at work also, so...
I did not, because I have a tin.
It's like, I have
like
to go
Martha.
Home. My feelings hurt.
I need to take an emotional mental day. I'm reading this very sad book.
I would have disability. I would be like, I'm sorry, I can't ever work because I'm too enmeshed in my fictional life and it's hurt my feelings and I'm very sad about it.
You would have to call in every Monday after listening to mine.
That's right.
Like, listen,
Bonnie's book traumatized me. Did you read it? No.
I didn't have to. She told me about it.
Romances traumatized me. I can't even imagine.
But I like those kind of books because, like what Gwen was saying, they're so deep and they just go into so many different aspects. Makes your heart feel.
Ugh.
I knew that was coming.
That's why I did it.
Gag.
Good job, Bonnie.
All right.
Okay. So the book I read this week is called Kind of Cursed by Stephanie Fournet. So this book is a romance.
Oh,
4 months is over. Romance is back, baby. But anyway, so this story is about Millie. She's 24 and she's a vet, and she has really young siblings. Like she has twin brother and sister who are in high school. They're like 14. And then she has a younger brother who's 8. And unfortunately, she gets called home because her parents go on a cruise and they get lost at sea. Like, they go on an excursion when it's raining. And so they die. They're dead. Okay. That's the sadness over. So then Millie ends up having to raise these kids. And so she's this young single woman. She's struggling with the line between I'm your sister, but I also have to, like, now tell you to do good things like your homework and eat your vegetables instead of being your friend kind of thing. And Stephanie's family is kind of special. And it's the weird, it's the world's weirdest plot point I've ever read, but I thought it was so funny. So in Stephanie's heritage, I guess, going back many, many generations, the women are insanely fertile. So for 6 generations, every woman who's gotten married has been pregnant when they got married, has had a shotgun kind of wedding, and nothing stops it. So for instance, like her grandmother, she was like on the pill and they were using condoms. No, baby. Her parents... like, they had her, and then they had all these oops babies later in life after her father had a vasectomy. The mom, like, had her tubes tied. I mean, they did all the stuff. And twins and a baby. So Millie is really, really scared that she cannot have any kind of relationships with men. Because the second she does, she's going to be tied to them for life because she's going to have a baby. These are the people that the health class taught you about. Honestly.
The first time is all it takes.
That's right. Once is all it takes. So Millie's, you know, having her life. She's a vet. I think I mentioned that. Mm-hmm. And her parents at one point wanted to renovate their kitchen. So they put this deposit down with a contracting company. And Millie has no idea. So one day out of the blue, this young man comes and he's like, hi, I'm here to redo your cabinets. And she's like, what?
Oh, dear.
So it's kind of a surprise, but she has enough money because, you know, life insurance and everything. And so she lets this guy in. And of course, he has to spend like 6 months to a year completely gutting their kitchen and renovating it. And I mean, he's there every day. So they kind of have this chemistry going on. But Millie is super, super fertile. She cannot be having relationships because she's raising this family of hers. And A, it's just not a good idea for her right now. And B, she doesn't want to saddle this nice guy that she likes with this instant family of like 3 older kids. And that is pretty much the synopsis of the book. It's like her trying to decide if it's, I mean, there's never like a, oh, maybe we won't get pregnant. It's like, no. If
we're gonna
get together, we're going to have a baby. And he laughs and laughs because she's like, this is why we can't date. And he's like, ha, 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 that's funny. No, seriously, why? And she's like, no, that's it. So that's the book. Like, they just kind of go back and forth as to whether or not they want to date because...
And because it's a romance. Happen. And because it's a romance, they get together at the end.
Hey.
Well, it wouldn't be a romance right? If it wasn't happily ever after, yes. But I liked it a lot. It was really, really adorable and cute. I mean, if you, obviously the plot of the whole fertility thing was hysterical. It made me laugh. Don't take that part seriously, but the rest of it was just adorable and cute and everything you want in a romantic comedy. And that was Kind of Cursed by Stephanie Fournier.
Awesome. I'm going to have to read it.
Yeah, see if they had any babies.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this book is called Wearing the Cape by Marion G. Harmon. And I love this book. It came out in 2013. And it's a superhero fiction, which is underrepresented. It's not a graphic novel. It's not a comic book. The superhero fiction genre is so underrepresented, that's why I want to review it.
We love superheroes. Bring on the cape.
Well, it starts with a bang. This girl, she's 18. She's got everything going for her in her life. She's about to go to college. She's his best friends and everything. And she's driving along on the interstate. And all of a sudden, the overpass lands on her car.
Holy crap.
So she would be crushed
to
death.
That's a way to start a movie.
She would be crushed to death, but... she breaks through as a superhero.
Yes.
Yes.
Now that's my kind
yes.
of book.
She's almost crushed, but she develops the powers to push the concrete off of her car and escapes and is able to fly. And so she helps Ooh. Other people out of their cars that are crushed. It's horrible. It's a horrible time for her. And then all of a sudden she sees this other superhero. It's a man. And his name is Atlas, and he is the most famous superhero in this world. He is the very first superhero after what they call the event. And the event happened about several years before this story. And the event is when, for 3.2 seconds, every human being in the whole world experienced total sensory deprivation.
What?
And it caused...
Cool!
And it caused what they call breakthroughs. And... So after the event, superheroes started happening. Like there would be a near-death experience, and like this girl, her name is Astra.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, her
too.
Superhero name is Astra, and so she would have died. And a lot of people do break through and become the flying type of superhero, but some become like crazy inventors where they can just create stuff out of nothing, basically. And some people, like there's one lady, she's called the Harlequin, and her whole body is rubber. And so nice. She just bounces around.
Can you imagine how much fun that yes. would be?
So long as you don't have a latex allergy.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The Harlequin has trouble dating, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that yeah. would kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so this book follows Astra becoming a superhero, being trained, and then there's a supervillain, of course.
Oh, yes.
And she has to try to save the world, basically, but she can't tell anybody because a supervillain, well, I'm not going to give it away, but... Yeah, it's basically a secret that she knows what's going to happen in the future, and she has to try to save the world.
Ooh, boy, yeah. That would suck to know and not be able to. Ooh, yeah, that would yeah. be awful.
So basically, this book is like brain candy. It's so fun, and I just love it. Even though there's a part that makes me cry, it's still a super, super well written book. And there's a series, so it's the first of a series, and that's Wearing the Cape by Marion G. Harmon.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun. I read a superhero-ish book by Mike Chen.
Yes, I read that one too. That just came out last year. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was a good one.
That was a good book. I think somebody else reviewed it, though, because I can't remember if it was Jessica.
I gave it 4 stars instead of 5, though.
Yeah. Megan's done a super...
Was it Megan?
I think Megan did a superhero.
Might have been Megan, yeah, because it was a little bit... I don't remember why. I think somebody else had already dibsed it or something. Today, I am reviewing... The sequel to Axiom's End by Lindsay Ellis called Truth of the Divine. I had a really difficult time with this book. I loved the first one so much for a bunch of different reasons, but the first of which is the character's growth throughout the book. She kind of started out as this, I don't know, kind of lost individual. You know, she had just... couldn't settle anywhere. She's in her 20s. And she grows so much during book because she makes contact with this alien. She becomes the interpreter for this alien. She basically just turns into this really confident,
well, at least on the outside anyway, person. And at the same time, you can tell she's kind of got some feelings going on for this alien, right? So the second book is she's gone through trauma. And she's a totally different character. And you know what? A lot of people are going to like this book because a lot of people like trauma and a lot of people like romance. And this second book is pretty much that. Yeah, there's a little alien sprinkled all over the top, but it kind of picks up where the other one left off. And I can't go into too much detail because if you didn't read the first one, well, you should. The first one was really good. And I'm sure the third one will also be good. I like the storyline because it has a lot of, I mean, I'm not sad I read it because I like the alternate history line that sort of runs through the book where people kept the alien encounters secret and the people who kept it secret then have to end up taking responsibility for it, actually. And in the book, George W. Bush resigns because has had knowledge of it, and which is really just interesting to see, you know, the way the world around us is affected by first contact. And so I really like that part of the book and those parts of the book, the way the character changed between book one and book two. I get it. I get why she was traumatized, but it wasn't an enjoyable read for me personally. Because I don't enjoy reading about trauma, and I certainly don't enjoy reading about lost girls or romance or whatever. And this, she's very lost in this book. She's a very broken individual. So it's not that I'm going to give the book a bad rating. It's just that I didn't enjoy it myself.
It just doesn't sound like your kind of book.
No, it's totally not my kind of book. It's like I went in expecting one thing because of the way I felt about the first book. And then it's so different that it's hard to even make a comparison. Now, some people would really call that excellent writing. And if you look at the reviews on Goodreads, they're split right down the middle. There are people who hated the book and people who loved the book. And I think that that was the issue.
Because it's a departure from the earlier book?
Yes. It doesn't feel like the same character at all. Because it isn't. Because she's gone through all this trauma. Well, that's not my jam. I don't like reading about it. It stresses me out. It's not enjoyable for me. So I don't read those kinds of books. I want to read about the alien when I'm picking up a book about, you know, that sort of thing. I go for the space books that don't have a lot of emotion and don't have a lot of... You know, the love interests are there, but it's a sidebar always. This book focuses almost entirely on the emotion and the issues surrounding the main character. And it's important because her relationship with the aliens is intertwined in all of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very well-written book. And I think that women in general... will enjoy this book much more than I did. I don't consider myself
a woman.
No, I am not. I am not a normal female reader at all. I am not. So probably the person that I was when I was what? Megan's age, maybe? No, much earlier than that. I'm thinking maybe 18 or 19. I would have loved this book back then because I was a different type of reader back then. I was much more romantic and much more touchy-feely than I am now. Now I just want the aliens, goddammit. Overall, like I said, it was a very well-written book. Lindsay Ellis has a gift for good writing. She does a fantastic job. And if you're the type of reader that enjoys the emotional aspects of people's story when you're reading, and you like a little science fiction on the side, then you're going to like this book. Then the reason I'm not giving a lot of detail, obviously, is that it's a sequel. So if I tell you too much and you haven't read the first book, then it's going to totally wreck it for you because then you'll know the ending of the first one. Normally, I don't review sequels for that reason. But in this case, I made an exception because I reviewed this book twice last year. I did it the first time No, actually 3 times, because I did it the first time I read it. Then on the end of the year podcast, I chose it as one of my favorite books of the year. Then we did it at the live event. So I picked that book 3 times. So that's the reason that I wanted to go back and speak about this one. And I feel bad that I couldn't love it as much as I feel like it deserved. So I'm hoping that somebody else reads it who likes that kind of thing and is able to really give it the love it deserves. So anyway, that book was called Truth of the Divine, and it's by Lindsay Ellis.
Well, you know, if she's all broken down in the second book, in the third book, she's probably going to get built back up, which is more your jam.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'll probably really like the third one. And it's funny because this podcast, we've been doing this for 5 years now. I used to read so differently. I would get my teeth into a series and just devour it and then go look for everything that author had written and, you know, just really go after that. But after we started doing the podcast, it all changed, because when you have to review and you read with the eye of reviewing, you can't keep it reviewing stuff in the same series because if people haven't read the first one and so on. So,
oh yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, it's totally different. So, yeah. Anyway,
like there are a ton of books you guys review and I really want to read them, but then there are all these other books that I want to read that haven't been reviewed. And I think, well, I won't read that one because someone's already done that one.
Yep.
And I need to have something in my back pocket.
Yep. So that's how it changes when you get involved in a project like this. It just changes the way you read. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, because I've read so many things I never would have touched before.
Yeah, I would have to agree, because I read about 2 books a week. And I always read one for the podcast and one for fun. Mm-hmm. One that I want to read and then one that I can review. But the only bad thing about that is if I start reading a series and I really, really like it, and I have to not read the second one until I read this book that I have to review, I'm very put out that I have to.
I'll tell you what, yeah.
Read it. And sometimes it affects how much I like that book. And it shouldn't, because it's not that author's fault that.
Exactly.
That is exactly. Okay, so Gwen, Jamie, Allison, 100 people have told me how much I will love the Anita Blake series.
Yes.
And I know I will. I will love it. The problem is, if I read the first book, there are a whole bunch of books after. Okay. I don't even know how many.
Okay, Keith,
and I'm going to read them all.
You have to stop at like book 10, and it totally goes into just like there's one book, the entire book is one sex scene. So as you go along.
Well, see, I would like that.
Well, it's like, which book is that? I'll read that one first.
So, oh, well, maybe you will, but I've read them. I'm still reading them. She's into the 20s in that series, but a lot of people have quit because of her going into this sex, and that's it. Yeah.
Keith likes that.
But see, that's my, I know, I love that.
She stands in
line. But that's my biggest issue with series. And so many of the books that I love have.
Yep.
There aren't enough books that just have trilogies anymore. I can handle a trilogy, but I was reading one series and they're on their 42nd book. And after a while, you have to be like, I'm never going to catch up. I have to read other things. Help me, help me, help me.
I have to read other things. I'm sorry.
But someday I'm reading Anita Blake because I know I'm going to love it. Everybody has told
me
I will love it.
Maybe we should start writing sabbaticals into our
No, we should tell the authors, we should mandate some authors take a sabbatical.
Oh, I see. I was
because some of these authors who write, like, there are authors who write like a book every 2 months.
Mama needs new shoes, man. They got to keep the lights on in their house and whatnot. They got to pay for their second home in the Bahamas.
I'm like, I love it, but you need to settle down. You need to put a little stopping point. Like 1 through 3 are like, I don't know, that author that Megan loves, the one that writes all the books about Cassandra Clare.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She writes 100,000 books, but it's like, here's a trilogy. Here's a trilogy that goes off of that trilogy. So I feel like there's a stopping point.
Right.
Here's
everyone
a trilogy
do that.
That goes off of.
Truthfully, yeah. When I start
800
looking,
other books.
When I start looking for a book, when I go in and I'm browsing around in the library app, if it says that it's book 3 of 1 or you know, book 5 of or something like that, I get out of that section altogether because I know that I won't have time to read 5 books.
When it's mystery novels and it's a detective type thing, I mean, it doesn't make any difference which one you read. You can hop in and grab, you know, number 5 and then go back and read number 9 and then go back and read number 4, depending on what's available at the library. And you really don't miss that much because it's a detective.
Yeah, and that's why I love those.
Yeah, I love them. That's what I read in my spare time.
I still want to go in order.
So anyway.
I have so many notes about so many ridiculous, awesome things on Amazon.
You might have to break that up into
two. All of which I need to buy.
We will. And since Gwen said that she always buys books for people, which makes perfect sense.
Ooh, you should buy a tote that says something just awful.
Well, I found a book. I found a book.
Oh God, I'm afraid.
I sent you a picture of it. It's Gomer. Uh-oh. It's Gomer the Gassy Goat.
Oh no.
Yeah, I thought that was really a cute looking book. I have no idea what it's about, but I'm guessing it's about a goat that farts a lot. There's a lot of farting books on Amazon for the little kids and whatnot. I think that's
a kid's
book.
What you sent me, Martha.
That's one of the things I sent you.
The thing I opened up expecting a children's book about a gassy goat was instead the way grandma liked it.
Yeah. And it's actually says the whole title is Cock the Way Grandma Liked It. 50 mouthwatering chicken recipes that will blow your mind. Keith actually blacked out for a second there. Come on. It's funny. Nobody else thinks it's funny. Clearly.
No, do you see me laughing? They even say it in the review. They're like, it's the most hilarious gift you're ever going to find.
I mean, I would laugh my butt off if I got a gift like that. Of course, you know, around.
Okay, is it a real book?
It's a real cookbook.
Well, they're talking about how it's great for white elephants. Like, it seems like it's.
But just the title. I mean, that would stop the heart of somebody who doesn't swear.
Poor grandma.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can imagine. There's a girl that I work with. She's very prim and proper. She's the sweetest thing ever. But if she got that as a white elephant gift, she would have a heart attack. She really would. It would make her seize up because she's very, some people just don't like silly stuff like that. It would freak her out, man. And Vonnie's.
Come on,
I found
Vonnie.
A pair of like super creepy. Like I read these and I was like, I think I need to take a shower.
What?
These socks are like
Were
creepy.
They anything like the He Who Must Not Be Named former president socks that we saw at the mistletoe market?
No, these just kind of make me cringe.
Who is it that likes pumpkin spice so much? Is it you, Vonnie?
Me.
It's a girlfriend of mine actually found this at Walmart. It's pumpkin spice flavored cup of noodles. She bought it just on principle. She said it's god awful. Why on earth did they think that would be a good thing to serve to people?
I want that as a dessert, though. I don't want it as a...
Oh!
I don't want it
Oh, you mean... Yeah, no. Cup
as
of
a dessert, bleh. Not as like... I don't want it in my beer.
She wants a sweet, not a savory.
And I don't want it if... Now, I have had like raviolis that have like squash in them.
Yeah,
or
that's
butternut
different,
squash.
Though. That's
now,
different.
That's good.
Yeah.
But you're not putting like cinnamon and nutmeg and shit in there.
Yeah, no, that's wrong.
Sorry.
These socks I found say, I'm the kind of dirty you can't wash off. Is that not creepy?
I think it's creepy. It sounds like that.
I like it.
I'm the kind of dirty you can't wash off. Nope.
People of Walmart coloring book. Ew.
The people of Walmart coloring book. Don't you think that should go in somebody's stocking? Let me show you. This is.
I'd be afraid I'd show up on it.
Well, see, that's why I would buy it. I used to be terrified that I was a poor dresser. I would watch the People of Walmart videos to check to see if I wore anything like the people in the thing. I'm being serious.
No, I'm always afraid. Like my husband's Mr. Keith is like, you can go dressed in that. And I'm like, no. Why do people write children's goats? children's books on things that they know, like I need a new butt.
Yeah, I need a new butt is actually a book.
Oh, this one has a crack in it? I
broke my butt. My butt is so noisy.
They're all about butts. I mean, if you look up funny children's books on Amazon, they're all about farting. Because kids think farting is hilarious.
Yes, they do.
Do you think they would have a copy of I Need a New Butt at the library?
That's a possibility. We have all kinds of weird things. You can even request that title if you want.
No, not particularly. I don't need a new butt. Although, if I had a new butt, I think I would choose a butt that's much firmer than the butt I now own.
Yeah, I like
that. Say, I could take a new butt. It's fine.
I definitely would choose a new head first, I think. I'd choose a much more attractive head and a much bigger brain.
Your head is fine.
So if you're looking for an interesting and slightly inappropriate gift for someone, you can check out all of these items that we've talked about today on our website. And you can click on those items. And when you do, we'll actually get credit if you purchase them. How awesome is that?
So Martha's taken me out on dates twice this week.
I took her out on a date on Thursday night because...
And both of them involved drinking.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that she's trying to get me drunk and take advantage of me.
Uh-oh.
We went to some craft
fair. How much
fair.
Did she spend for dinner? Because maybe you owe her something now.
Well, it wasn't the lobster, but the bag of popcorn that she bought me was $20. So...
Uh-oh. Oh, crap. Now you're expected to put out.
So I'm not a $5 whore. I'm a $20 whore, apparently.
$20 worth of popcorn whore.
We'll do it for toffee popcorn. Pour that toffee on me, baby.
Just as long as it's not a belly button candle, because I'm out. I'm totally out on that.
You can't pour hot toffee in my belly button. There's no amount of mushrooms that's okay.
Can you imagine going into the ER?
You probably heard so much worse.
Trying to explain how in the world you got third degree burns on the inside of your belly button.
Imagine how much that would hurt.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh, that would. Whew.
I can't even imagine. That just. Ugh.
It's insane.
And then yeah. To have to, like, then you the hair, you have to pull
oh!
your.
Oh! Nope.
All your belly button hair off.
Nope.
Ooh, I can't
did they
even
think that would make a good candle. It's like the tiniest candle too.
Because they were high.
That's why it's funny. That's how high they were. That's pretty god dang high.
I'm still trying to like tear it apart. I'm like, that would never fly on Shark Tank.
How do you get the wick in there?
You just light the belly button hair. Keith, what have you been doing that you have wax?
Yeah, you got wax in your belly button, Keith? What the hell, dude?
Well, you don't know about my personal life.
You got some mushrooms in there you're not telling us about.
Maybe that's where that other judge grew its mushrooms. Do you have a date coming over later tonight to do some mushrooms with you?
Oh, I grew my own. Look.
Belly button candles are a bad idea.
Okay. And on that cautionary note, that's going to do it for
Three Book Girls.
Let's Google belly button candles and see if they have any.
Dude, I was just thinking the same thing.
Can't get enough of Three Book Girls? Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Follow them on TikTok, YouTube, and check out their website at threebookgirls.com.
And join the group Three Book Girls Tribe on Facebook. If you really love them, share the podcast with a friend or join them at one of their live events. Three Book Girls, a Steel Trap production.